Good morning, everyone. We'll now call the City Council meeting of Tuesday, October 8th, 2024 to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
Thank you, Council President. Council President Pro Tem Limbaugh.
Present.
Councilmember Campbell. Councilmember Whitburn.
Here.
Councilmember Foster. Councilmember Von Wolper. Councilmember Lee.
Here.
Councilmember Campillo.
Here.
Councilmember Moreno. And Council President Elo Rivera.
Present.
Also attending the meeting are Assistant City Attorney Leslie Fitzgerald, Independent Budget Analyst Charles Monica, Council Affairs Advisor in the Mayor's Office, Code Advisor, and myself, your City Clerk, Diana Fuentes.
All right, thank you, Clerk Fuentes. Let's get started with the land acknowledgement and pledge of allegiance led by Councilmember Whitburn.
We respectfully acknowledge that the Kumeyaay Nation are the original inhabitants of the unceded land now known as San Diego. Despite enduring the horrors of genocide and colonization, the Kumeyaay spirit remains unbroken. We honor the resilience of their ancestors who fought to protect their culture and land. Today, they carry their legacy forward, ensuring that their traditions continue to thrive in gratitude and strength. We stand with the Kumeyaay Nation, connected to our past and committed to a thriving future. Please face the flag, place your right hand over the heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I will now go over how the public can offer their color testimony during today's meeting. If you are in person, please complete the speaker slip located at the entrance of chambers and place it on top of the box, indicate that the high lectern at the front of the room. Please submit your speaker slips in a timely manner to ensure proper meeting management. Council ambassadors are available at the entrance of chambers and can assist with questions on speaker slips. No further in-person testimony will be taken once the council begins virtual testimony. If you would like to participate virtually, you can do so via the webinar information found on the agenda cover page. Members of the public who wish to provide virtual testimony must enter the virtual queue by raising their hand by either dialing *9 or pressing the raise your hand icon before the queue closes. The queue will close when the last virtual speaker finishes speaking or 5 minutes after in-person testimony ends, whichever occurs first. For meeting management during the proclamations and consent portions of the agenda, speakers will have 1 minute per item and up to a maximum of 3 minutes if there are three or more items in that portion of the agenda. For purposes of today's meeting, the order of business is anticipated to be as follows. It will be consent and proclamation items, items pulled from the consent agenda, if any, and then the discussion item this morning will be item 330, item 331, followed by non-agenda public comment. There will be no 2 p.m. council meeting session this afternoon. Thank you, Council President.
All right, thank you, Clerk. We've got a quorum, so let's get started with the approval of our consent agenda. Do we have any requests to pull items from the consent agenda? Hearing none, let's proceed with public comment.
Thank you, Council President. Please note that each speaker will have 1 minute per item per person. If you would like to speak on three or more items, you will have a maximum of 3 minutes. The consent agenda includes items 50 through 54 and 100 through 110. I will note that we did not receive any comments via our e-comment form for this meeting. Also, let me know for the record the potential appointments and reappointments that are on the agenda this morning. Item 108 is the potential appointments of Lola Adeyemo to the Citizens Equal Opportunity Commission. Item 109 is the potential appointment of William Petum to the Senior Affairs Advisory Board. And item 110 is the potential appointment of Juliet Taraman to the Small Business Advisory Board. We have Joyce Inyata here with us today. She's speaking on items 50, 51, 52, 54, and 109. You will have 3 minutes for all of your items. Please proceed.
Thank you, City Clerk Fuentes. I'll manage my own time. Joyce Inyata, District 3, good morning. Number 50, this was on consent at BNGE and now on consent at City Council meeting. In my opinion, while I say yes to the award of the contract to Sherpa, I also say this. I do not consider this item routine. I do not consider this item routine. This is from Sherpa. Through Sherpa's highly configurable software, government entities create a collaborative budget to support their strategic vision, end of quote. From staff report, this requires training workshops for employees involved. It requires support, monitoring, and implementation. It requires a 10-month transition period. Sherpa and Deloitte partnership is very valuable. I was so pleased to see that. Councilmember Foster and Councilmember Moreno, you're not? Okay. Councilmember Foster and Councilmember Moreno, I'm not happy with the workforce report, are you? Okay, number 51. Yes, approve the second amendment to the public arts project, Pacific Highlands Ranch Branch Art. Number 51, yes, approve the second amendment for the public art project, Pacific Highlands Ranch Branch. Art opens doors to our minds. Number 52, yes, amend the Muni Code to establish a cultural affairs department in alignment with the Arts and Culture Commission. I attended the 3-hour workshop. Yes, they're ready and they are excited. Number 54, amend the rules of council. Yes, to legislative staff and budget review committee. Personally, for the consent portion, I'm stumbling with the change. President Hilo Rivera, I'm stumbling. I don't see any asterisks. Number 409, big thank you to all sides of the appointment to the Senior Affairs Advisory Board. I'm an older adult. And a big, big thank you to Chida, the department director, for her excellent, excellent work. So good morning again, love to all, and thank you always for listening to me.
Thank you. That does conclude public comment here in chambers. We're going to those participating remotely, starting with Brooks. If you can please unmute and let me know which item or items on the consent agenda you wish to speak to. Brooks, I can't unmute for you. I've asked you to unmute. A pop-up, there you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, I raised my hand for non-agenda public comment.
Okay, we'll come back to you. Thank you. Next is Levi Giaffleone. If you can please unmute and let me know which item or items you wish to speak to.
Hi, my name is Levi Giaffleone. I wanted to speak to the proclamation of World Homeless Day.
Okay, proclamations is next. Right now we're on the consent agenda. You can raise your hand for that portion when we get to it. That concludes public comment on the consent items.
Do we have a motion to approve or any questions, comments about the consent agenda? Give me with Council President.
I don't have any remarks, but I'll move the consent agenda.
Thank you. Councilmember Oliver.
Thank you. I will second the consent agenda. And on item 108, I want to thank Lola Ademo for her volunteerism and recognize her appointment to the Citizens Equal Opportunity Commission from District 5. Thank you again to Chida for all you do for the many boards and commissions and for being here every time you appoint someone. You clearly show up to support your nominees, so thank you. Ms. Ademo is a management consultant specializing in creative, inclusive workplaces through a strong focus on employee resource groups and the broader lens of equity inclusion. She partners with HR, talent leaders, diversity, equity, and inclusion leaders, ERG managers to translate DEI goals into actionable strategies that enhance employee experiences and drive organizational success. She has founded nonprofit Immigrants in Corporate Inc., where she is building a community for immigrant professionals, which is fantastic. Immigrants have so much to offer to our great city. Focused on career development, advocacy, and education. As an immigrant herself, she is passionate about immigrant inclusion and workplace and DEI initiatives. My father was an immigrant to this country as well. That's where I get my last name, von Lippert. He was born in Germany, in Munich, right after the World War II ended. I thank her for her willingness to serve on the Citizens Equal Opportunity Commission. I look forward to the expertise and perspective she can bring to the commission. So thank you very much. And the rest are proclamations. So thank you.
All right, thank you, Councilmember von Wolpert. We've got a motion and a second here. I don't see any additional requests to speak to the agenda. Clerk, please call the roll.
A Sorry, the voting system, please cast your vote. That does pass unanimously, 7-0, with Councilmember Campbell and Councilmember Moreno absent. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, do we have any mayor, council, city attorney, IBA, or city clerk comments? Begin with Councilmember Campillo.
Thank you, Council President. Just wanted to take a moment to reiterate how much, what good work our city clerk's office does, and particularly our city clerk, Deanna Fuentes. I can think of nobody else in our city who puts fairness at the front of her mind and how she deals with the public, deals with us candidates throughout. And so I just wanted to say, Deanna, thank you for all your great work. Everybody in here who knows what they're talking about knows what a good public servant you are. So just know that District 7 really appreciates you too.
Thank you, Councilmember Campillo. Clerk Fuentes.
Thank you. I just wanted to remind everyone that the ballots have been mailed out by the Registrar of Voters, so please be looking out for that in your mailboxes, and please be sure to vote. We also, just as a reminder, do have now a ballot drop box here in front of City Hall, and if you'd like more information about where your current drop box or voting center is, please go to sdvote.com for that information. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you. All right, I don't see any additional comments here. That brings us to our proclamation items. Clerk, if you'd like to proceed with public comment on our proclamations.
Thank you. The public comment period for the proclamations is now open. Each speaker will have 1 minute per item per person. If you would like to speak on three or more items, you will have a maximum of 3 minutes. The proclamation items being approved are items 30 and S-500 through S-505. We did not receive any comments on these items via our e-comment form. Starting with Joyce Inyata, you submitted slips to speak on items 30, S-501, and S-503. So you will have 3 minutes to speak on these items.
Thank you so much, appreciate it. Number 30, thank you, Mayor Gloria. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, President Ido Rivera. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, President Pro Tem Lacava. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Councilmember Foster III. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I just can't say enough thank yous. Wow, I have more than 13,000 hugs of value and appreciation to give out to all of our employees this month. Here's what I love from the proclamation, whereas is expanding internet access and youth programs, two of my favorite likes from the whereas is list. It's through your willingness, dear employees, to innovate that you care enough to enable, especially our older adults and youth, to cross the bridge and fully enter the golden opportunities of our digital dimension, which is here now. Love to all of you so very much. S501, World Homeless Day, the inner and outer environment of the homeless. Today, people around the world in over 100 countries are celebrating World Homeless Day while working to prevent and end homelessness. Oh gosh, I picked up the wrong thing this morning. I left the short one at home. This is the long one that I was going to speak at the Environmental Committee about. So we'll just say that we all are working hard, aren't we? We all are doing our best for the homeless, and I think it's going to be a great day to celebrate and also to quietly, in our own way and time, to honor the dead of the homeless that have passed. I think it's over 600, so sorry about that on that item. Number S-503, did I tell you? I want to make sure I thank everybody that was on that item. Well, to everyone who brought that forward on that item, I'm sorry about that. Thank you very much to all the council members that brought that homeless item forward. So on S-503, Council President Pro Tem Lacava, thank you so much for the Tree San Diego's 10th anniversary day. What I got from the whereas is from the planting and growing of trees, what is also planted and grows is community engagement and workforce development. We literally become or are the trees of nature. Thank you so much for the Tree Steward Certification Program. Congratulations on the 10,000th tree, which will be planted on 10-10-24, which is Thursday, on your 10th anniversary and award celebration. Oh, I did it. Thank you so very much. And sorry for that confusion. I don't want to mix up the homeless items. So love to all.
Amen. Next is Levi. Levi Gephaim. I have two speaker slips, but they're for the same item.
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure. You'll have 1 minute. Please proceed.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Levi Giaffleone. On behalf of Lived Experience Advisors, thank you so much for proclaiming World Homeless Day on October 10th. I hope that you guys will join us at the County Administration Building out there in the lawn on the 10th. Something like this is really important to people like me. You can have experience in helping someone end their homelessness, but until you have personal experience in ending your own homelessness, you can't think about it in the same way. So we really appreciate being able to give our voice today, because we're getting adequate sleep at night and we can come and express ourselves and what worked and what didn't. World Homeless Day is a time for us to reflect on the lives lost on our streets. Homelessness is incredibly deadly. I would love to stand here and list the names to you of my clients who have passed away just in the 6 years that I've been working in outreach in homelessness, but I can't due to HIPAA. They still deserve that respect. Thank you.
Thank you for that concluding comment. Mary Santana? Mary Sorgano? Sorry. You're speaking on items 30 and S503, so you'll have 2 minutes. Please proceed.
Good morning, City Council. Thank you for having me here today. I wanted to speak on item 30 regarding City of San Diego Employee Appreciation Month. We are actually, this October 10th, going to provide a reward recognition for services of the La Jolla Rec Center. So I'm president of the La Jolla Town Council, so this is just perfect timing to go ahead and recognize the La Jolla Rec Center city employees. They do need assistance with public parking. They have to move their car every 2 hours on an 8-hour shift. So if we could help out those employees, it would be useful, because they are getting tickets. I was right there when the meter person was there trying to give a ticket to an employee who had to walk out, you know, every 2 hours to try to move her car. So if we can help her, please, let's work together somehow. And then item S503, the Tree San Diego's 10th anniversary day. This is perfect timing. We did get an email from one of our residents in La Jolla wanting to bring the tree program back. So if we can, and I'm not too familiar with it because I'm the new president and there's a lot of things I'm taking on, but if someone can help me with that new tree program. It isn't a new tree program. They want to revive that city tree program. I'm not sure what happened to it or if it's not existing, but it seems like there's some existence because we're celebrating it. That's it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. That does conclude public comment here in council chambers. I do not see anybody with their hand raised in the virtual queue, so that concludes public comment on the proclamations.
Thank you, Clerk. Mr. Zeiserbeck, if I could, because the issue raised right now during public comment actually is one that we've heard in other parts of the city as well. I don't know if there might be an opportunity for the mayor's office to speak with to see if there's a way to provide parking passes to our employees so that they're not ticketed while they're on shift.
Yes, absolutely. We'll look into that.
Thank you. Appreciate that. We'll turn it over to Councilmember Von Wolfert.
Thank you, and thank you, Council President, for following up. Thank you, CODA. We always load things on your plate, so appreciate you. I'm happy to move the proclamations today, and I want to thank my colleagues, as always, for bringing forward wonderful proclamations to celebrate so many events and people in our city. Starting with item 30, the City of San Diego Employee Appreciation Month, I want to thank the mayor's team and council president for bringing this forward. I want to start by thanking all the incredible employees here at our city, including our public commenter, who are doing incredible work every day on behalf of our citizens. Over 12,000 folks work here at the city, and they work hard every single day, from trash collection to sidewalk repair to street resurfacing to parks, beaches, oceans, firefighters, police officers, I want to thank our recognized employee organizations, Local 145, the POA, Lifeguards 9/11, Municipal Employees Local 127, Deputy City Attorneys Association, of which I, as a former member, the San Diego Municipal Employees Association, and others. And I want to recognize our residents, businesses, and visitors who rely so much on our city employees and who thank them. We have many residents who do write thank you notes and say thank you to the hard work, so I want to appreciate our residents for doing that. And through that, I will be happy to celebrate this month with our employees. On item S501, World Homeless Day, today we recognize World Homeless Day as a call to do more for our most vulnerable populations in San Diego. Thank you to Levi for coming and commenting. We must continue to work hard to address this crisis with the urgency and compassion and coordinated efforts. And I know everyone here on this dais cares deeply about this issue, and we are all working very hard to solve an issue that, quite frankly, no city in America has figured out. I want to thank lived experience advisors and others whose leadership and lived experience guide us to shaping more effective solutions. We're going to keep working together on this. On S504, I want to thank my colleague and the chair of the San Diego River Joint Powers Association, Councilor LaCava, for bringing forward Dwight Warden Day. Dwight recently retired after an incredible career, and he was with us on the San Diego River Valley JPA board for the past few years. Dwight's leadership in establishing the JPA in the late 80s and 90s as their general counsel first, then from 2017 until last month, serving on the board, has made a lasting impact on the preservation of incredible natural resources within the San Diego River Valley, San Diego River Valley, and will remain available to our residents and visitors today and in the future. I want to thank Dwight already for coming out of retirement and being at a press conference with me yesterday at the county building with Supervisor Lawson Reamer when we unveiled that she will be pursuing the same procurement reform on gun procurement the city of San Diego did here. And Dwight showed up in a Let's Prevent Gun Violence t-shirt already. So I'm very proud to see that Dwight is continuing his community advocacy even in his retirement. And finally, San Diego Writers Inc. Day. San Diego Writers Inc. is turning 20 years old, and it's an incredible 501c3 nonprofit organization. I have done classes with them as a writer. They offer classes, workshops, readings, and other literary events. They foster a hub of writing in San Diego here, and they're promoting all age groups, all genres, all walks of life. You too can be a writer. So I'm very excited to be celebrating their 20 years with them this coming Thursday and all the vibrant literary community here in San Diego. And I will end my comments and make the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Bollinger. We will now go to Councilor Campillo.
Thank you, Council President. Happy to second the proclamations. And like in years past, happy to call out several of the city employees who've been very supportive of our office and our constituents. They make the city run every single day, and they do it kindly as well, which is just as important as doing it well. So I want to give special thanks to the folks on my staff that I work every day and the public utilities team that helps us with a lot of the emails and phone calls we get in. Katie Keach, everyone knows how big a hero she is for the city and our constituents. District 7's librarians this year have done a lot, especially as it keeps getting hotter and hotter and more people show up to the library. So David Eggy, San Carlos, and Jeffrey Davis and Linda Vista, Marta Brandis Miesner and Tierra Santa, Ann Gomez and Allied Gardens, and Zaina Gohan and Sarah Mesa, who just recently helped us do several events, getting the community engaged. Everyone on this dais and up on the 12th floor here knows how important the folks who help us on the 10th and 3rd floor are. So to Marianne Wallace and Brett Sismi, Tyler Birch, Abby Edwards, and Malachi Balecki, and Natalie Kessler, Sarah Jordan, and of course Jackie Montilla, who do such good work for us to make sure that we're interacting with our constituents when they come to our offices as well. Looking at folks in the city clerk's team like Deanna Fuentes, who make sure we welcome people right into our building, and Jennifer Berry, who does a great job with helping with the election cycle. I know on the first floor, Sylvia Ibarra Merrill and Ivy Blackwood Evans are taking care of people constantly. And so are Lynn Algario and Latanya Wise, Emma Rodriguez, and Aurelie Castillo. They're our front line of customer service. When people think they're interacting with their city government, that is the people they're interacting with. And so we truly appreciate them in helping us achieve our policies. IBA is led by Charles Monica, and he has many amazing analysts like Lisa and Amy and Baku, Aaron and Sergio. I know Ray Sheen has just moved over to economic development, but she did a great job for us as council members when she was here. And of course, the person I once compared to Isaac Newton, Jordan Moore. And of course, our security detail that protects us. as we walk in the building and protects the whole public. Sarah and Al and Brandon, all our security guards, are doing fantastic work and do it with kindness as well. From the city attorney's office, folks who help us on so many different policies, but I do have to say, really appreciate this year working with Brett Bartolotta on our ballot initiative. I know there's many different folks from other departments as too, Michelle Abella-Schoen and Jerry Abbott, Erica Ferreira, Steve Pally, Ali Perez, Rangers Bob Wheeler, and Julie Aylitz, folks who've been helping us do good work in Navajo with Mission Trails, with an off-leash dog park, Jamie Diaz as well in Parks and Rec, and of course, Megan Canis and the docketing team, who's always helping my staff and me with get things done. And of course, I have to really give one last shout out to our executive detail team who make sure that at events and here in City Council, we are safe. We miss Sergeant Alley. We wanted to congratulate her on her promotion and moving over to Western Division, where I still get to work along with her. But we seriously have Marlon literally watching our backs right over there. I think he jumped off the camera because he knew I was about to call him out. But everyone on the executive detail team, and of course Kevin Conkle, who I hope he's recovering well. He's doing, and we miss him. And lastly, Kona, you're doing a great job out there too, my friend. I really appreciate your communication and helping us work through items. When we have amendments we got to put forward, working with us from the 11th floor, you're doing a great job out there as well. And with that, I'll conclude my second, Council President.
Thank you, Councilmember Capio. Councilor Woodburn.
Thank you, Council President. On item S501, I'm pleased to join the Council President Pro Tem, and Councilmember Von Wilpert in bringing forward the recognition of World Homeless Day. It recognizes the human tragedy of homelessness, raises awareness of it, and calls for action to help end homelessness. Addressing homelessness has been a top priority of this City Council, and we will continue our work to prevent homelessness and help those who have lost their homes get back into housing. On item S500, St. Patrick's School Day, I'm pleased to join the mayor in bringing forward a proclamation declaring October 12th to be St. Patrick's School Day in the city of San Diego. This year, we celebrate the 80th anniversary of St. Patrick's School, which is a cornerstone of our North Park community. For 8 decades, the school has promoted academic excellence and core values like respect, integrity, and compassion. We appreciate the faculty and staff for shaping so many young lives over the years, and we look forward to the annual St. Patrick Parish and School Fall Festival this weekend, a 66-year tradition that supports the school and celebrates the community spirit. On item S503, thank you to Council President Pro Tem LaCava for bringing forward the proclamation celebrating Tree San Diego on its 10th anniversary and recognize the nonprofit that planted its 10,000th tree in 2024. And it is great to see so many trees being newly planted right here in District 3. We've seen over 500 trees planted in District 3 just in the past 4 years. And on item 30, City of San Diego Employee Appreciation Month, I join so many San Diegans in thanking our San Diego City employees, whether you are ensuring the safety of our streets, maintaining our parks, providing critical public services, or supporting our residents and businesses behind the scenes. Your work impacts every corner of our city. The efforts that our city employees put in every day make San Diego a better place to live, work, and visit. Every day, our city employees demonstrate what it means to be committed to the greater good, to act with integrity, and to serve with compassion. And we appreciate them. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Whitman. Council President Pro Tem LaCava.
Thank you, Council President. Thank you to my colleagues for bringing forth all these proclamations. I will join in speaking on several of them as well. Item 30, City of San Diego Employee Appreciation Month. I want to echo the appreciation I have for our city workers and commemorate their hard work and dedication. The city is basically a service provider, 12,000 employees dedicating every day to deliver the services that San Diegans expect, from those on the front lines working directly with the public to those who keep the wheels on the bus and address the nuts and bolts of operating a big city. Our parks, streets, utilities, and safety, to name a few, are all because of the tireless work everyone in the city contributes. Thank you, Councilmember Von Wolpert, for initiating this rock on World Homeless Day, item S501. I want to join Council President Eli Rivera, Councilmember Whitford, and Councilmember Von Wolpert in making this declaration. This internationally recognized day highlights our unhoused population in our communities, but more importantly, connects us to the individuals directly impacted by this crisis. Those experiencing homelessness now, those who with lived experience, and tragically, those who have lost their lives. We also recognize those working to help individuals and families off the street and into permanent housing. Our service providers, healthcare professionals, and advocates play a critical role in deserve the recognition. S502, Pacific Beach Fest 25th Anniversary Day that was held last Saturday. It's one of my favorite family-friendly events that takes place in the Pacific Beach community, which was added to District 1 back in 2022. What started as a small block party has flourished into a large event with live music, local businesses, and food, and not to mention PBSians and visitors. The collaboration done with the community for this event is truly inspiring. I want to thank Discover PB for hosting and spending months and months of preparation, ensuring that each year it turns out even bigger and better than the year before. And this year certainly was no different. Pacific Beach Fest was again successful in promoting and connecting the PB community. It's a pleasure to see the residents and local businesses come together for this late summer entertainment that was awfully chilly last Saturday. And then S503, Tree San Diego. I'm proud to present it, Tree San Diego, with this proclamation celebrating their 10th anniversary. Their dedication towards our environment is truly worth commemorating. Not only have they been leaders in tree planting, community engagement, and workforce development, they have made significant contributions to the city's sustainable future. Tree San Diego will be planting their 10,000th tree, as you've heard, at this year's anniversary and award celebration. Congratulations on your milestone. So the magic number is 10, 10th anniversary, 10,000 trees, and celebrating on Wednesday, which of course is 10-10. And then to close, S504, Dwight Warden Day. Had the pleasure, as Councilmember Wolpert mentioned, to work with Dwight during his time serving on the San Diego River Park Joint Powers Authority Board. During his 7 years of service on the JPA board and 10 years as general counsel, Dwight has been a part of multiple committees, bringing his passionate, persistent voice to each one. Your persistent dedication towards the restoration and preservation to the San Diego River Park will be noticed and appreciated for generations to come. Dwight has brought great advocacy and leadership to the City of Del Mar, the San Diego River Park JPA, and so many other boards and commissions. I wish him the very best in retirement, but I suspect will be very short, and he will bounce back as a volunteer. And with that, I'll be supporting the motion. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you, Council President Pro Tem. Councilor Foster.
Yes, thank you, Council President. I'd like to comment on item 30 and S501. Item 30, City of San Diego Employee Appreciation Month. I'm pleased to join my colleagues in bringing forward City of San Diego Employee Appreciation Month. I want to thank the 12,000 plus City of San Diego employees who serve our city day in and day out. The City of San Diego is one of the largest employers of the region that provides services that directly impact the quality of life of our residents. And therefore, our city employees are truly our most treasured asset and should be treated as such. So when we think about items that we get calls on in District 4, the graffiti abatement, the weed abatement, the condition of our streets, the picking up of our garbage, the recyclables, maintaining our stormwater channels, maintaining our street lights. Also want to give a big shout out to all of our recognized employee organizations for all the work that they do in ensuring that our working conditions are at the level that they need to be at, our compensation is at the level that it needs to be at to keep us competitive and to ensure that we are truly looking at and maintaining a skilled and trained workforce, a qualified workforce. So thank you for all of those efforts. Just in closing on item 30, just hope this year's Employee Appreciation Month that all our employees truly enjoy the month and know that your dedication and hard work is truly appreciated. Also regarding item S500, World Homeless Day, I also want to thank my colleagues for bringing forward item S500. Every year we take the time to commemorate World Homeless Day and remember the countless lives we've lost due to housing and housing challenges. Housing continues to be an issue for Black San Diegans. The Regional Task Force on Homelessness found in 2020, Black San Diegans made up 28% of the homeless population, even though we only represent 5% of the county's population. I want to thank community leaders like Pastor Roland Slade that participated in the ad hoc committee on addressing homelessness among Black San Diegans and have worked to create housing opportunities for residents in need. I also want to thank Lived Experience Advisors and Homeless Experience Advocacy and Leadership for their advocacy they do to push for real solutions. And Council President, that concludes my comments, and I will be supporting the proclamation items.
Thank you, Councilor Foster.
Councilmember Lee. Thank you, Council President. I would also like to comment specifically on item 30 and echo my colleagues here today in recognizing all of our 13,000 plus city of San Diego employees. These are individuals who help to keep our eighth largest city running every day, serving over 1.4 million residents and over 35 million visitors. Our employees provide critical services, everything from clean drinking water to environmental waste collection, police and fire dispatch, street infrastructure repairs, recreational programs across all of our parks and libraries, and much, much more. And similarly, would recognize that my work here on the council certainly would not be possible without the dedicated staff that we have in all of our council offices, as well as the mayor's office. But want to share a special appreciation for the employees of District 6, and want to share my immense gratitude to them, as well as all of our city employees for the work that they'll be doing. I'll be at the employee appreciation celebration coming up shortly, and look forward to celebrating with employees then. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Lee. Let me start by with item 30 and my appreciation to my colleagues for joining me in recognizing City of San Diego Employee Appreciation Month. Appreciate the comments that everyone up here has made already, and appreciation of the city employees who make everything that we do here as a city possible. I have noticed that in recent months, there are folks who've attempted to score political points by blaming city employees or not fully appreciating how critical a role city employees play in making sure that city work is done. There's quite literally nothing that's possible in this city without the folks who work here. Oftentimes that work is unseen and unappreciated, and this is just a small token of appreciation for all the work that is done on all of our behalfs. So thank you to my colleagues for the recognition of that. Next, I will turn to World Homelessness Day. Councilmember Butler, thank you for bringing this one forward. It's a really, really important day to recognize, and I appreciate the comments that have been made. I'll use this opportunity to share a story from the weekend. I had an opportunity to meet a unhoused gentleman in my district named Alvin, and Alvin is a veteran who served our country and has fallen on hard times, very much does want to find shelter. He shared with me that this current bout of homelessness, which he said he had not experienced prior to the one he's experiencing now, started to unravel when he lost his mother. The fixed incomes that they were both on were cut in half, and that made it impossible for him to stay in his house. Devastatingly, he shared the impact that's had on his mental health. As he shared with me, his mother is the only person who's ever loved him unconditionally in his life. And it was just a reminder to me that we have to do better for many, many people. Certainly those who served our country. Alvin shared with me that he feels like his country has betrayed him after his time serving all of us. I share this just because Alvin's just a single example of the people who are experiencing homelessness in our city, and certainly a good reminder to me, a motivating reminder of why it's so important to keep focused on this work on a person-by-person basis. No matter how large the crisis is in scale, at the end of the day, it is individuals like Alvin who are being impacted by it. So thank you, Councilor Bottleford, again, for bringing this forward, as it is a way for us to share those stories and recognize the humanity in all of the folks who are experiencing homelessness in San Diego and across the country. With that, we have a motion and a second. And clerk, if you would please call the roll.
Sorry, the voters will please cast your vote. And that passes unanimously 7-0 with Councilmember Campbell and Councilmember Moreno absent. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's now move to our discussion agenda. Clerk, if you'd please introduce item S506.
Thank you, Council President. Item S506 is the approval of the joint use agreement between the city and San Diego Unified School District for Ancare Elementary, Barnard Elementary, Erickson Elementary, Wedgeforth Elementary, Whitman Elementary, and Zamorano Elementary Schools. 6 votes are required for this item. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you. Councilor Lee, we'll turn to you before we hear this item.
Thank you, Council President. To avoid the appearance of a conflict of interest, I will be recusing myself from the vote on item 506, approval of the joint use agreements between the City of San Diego and the San Diego Unified School District. This is due to my volunteer role serving as the treasurer of the Parent Teacher Association at Barnard Elementary School. And so I will be leaving the room while the item is heard and voted on, and will return when the item is complete. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Lee. Give you a moment to step away. As a reminder, this item sort of been considered by the council. I don't think anybody here will need a presentation, just want to confirm that. So no request for presentation. With that, we can move directly into public comment, clerk.
No public comment here in council chambers, and nobody has their hands raised in the virtual queue. That concludes public comment on this item.
All right. With that, I will turn to Councilor Pompeo.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
We've got a motion there. We've got a second from Councilmember Whitburn. And I don't see any additional requests to speak to this item. I will say thank you to staff for being here ready to answer questions as always. Clerk, please call the roll.
I started the voting system. Please cast your vote. That does pass unanimously, 6-0, with Councilmember Campbell absent, Councilmember Moreno absent, and Councilmember Lee recused. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's move to item 330, please.
Item 330 is the master lease agreement to finance one fire rescue helicopter and general fund vehicles and equipment. 6 votes are required for this item. If you'd like to speak to this item, please be sure to raise your hand by pressing *9 or the raise your hand icon, or if you're here in council chambers, please be sure to submit a speaker slip to the highlight. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, once our presenters are ready, please introduce yourselves for the record and let us know how much time you'd like for this presentation.
Please
proceed.
Good morning, Council President and members of the City Council. This is Jyoti Bathalu, Assistant Director with the Department of Finance, and with me are Krista Davidson, Financing Coordinator with the Department of Finance, Rolando Charwell, City Comptroller and Director of Department of Finance, and Marguerite Medard, Deputy City Attorney. The action for your consideration today is to adopt an ordinance approving the form and execution of the master lease agreement to finance a fire rescue helicopter and general fund fleet replacement vehicles in an amount not to exceed $40 million. The ordinance will also include language declaring the city's intent to reimburse itself with lease funding proceeds as required by the Treasury regulations. With that, I will turn it over to Krista to cover the remainder of the presentation.
$40 million provided under the agreement, $17.5 million is anticipated to fund the purchase of a Bell 412 EPX helicopter for the Fire Rescue Department, which includes the cost of the helicopter, outfitting, sales tax, potential costs of financing, and contingency. The purchase of the helicopter was approved by City Council in February 2024 with the understanding that it would be financed through the City's Equipment and Vehicle Financing Program, or EVFP, with a master lease agreement to be brought forth at a later date. We anticipate the helicopter to be funded through two 10-year leases, one for the helicopter itself in May of 2025, and one for the outfitting and sales tax in October of 2025. The remaining amount, or $22.5 million, is anticipated to be used for 79 general fund fleet vehicles that have been ordered and are anticipated to be delivered over the next 14 months. Associated sales tax and outfitting costs for the vehicles will be cash funded and budgeted in the Vehicle Replacement Fund. The purchase contracts for these vehicles have also been approved by City Council with the understanding that they would be financed through EVFP, with the master lease agreement brought forth closer to the time of equipment delivery. As background, the city uses the EVFP to finance essential vehicles and equipment using 5, 7, and 10-year lease terms. Typically, the city will pay for the vehicles and equipment upon delivery and then reimburse itself with lease proceeds provided under the master lease agreement up to a certain amount, in this case, $40 million. Equipment is lease purchased, so the city retains ownership of the assets once the leases are paid off. This agreement will be executed with Bank of America Public Capital Corp as lessor, who was selected through a competitive process, and it will allow the city 14 months in which to draw down the funds up to $40 million. The city is under no obligation to draw down the full amount. And although we intend to utilize the full amount on the assets previously described, if delivery schedules change and the assets can no longer be financed through this agreement, the city may use this agreement to finance other essential equipment and vehicles. Under the agreement, interest rates are fixed at the time of each lease execution based upon current SOFR rates and a formula provided in the contract with a cap of 6%. Based on current interest rates, we estimate lease interest rates to be around 4.6% for all lease terms. The city covenants to budget and appropriate lease payments annually. In addition to the master lease agreement, an addendum will also be executed to finance the fire rescue helicopter. This addendum lists items necessary to complete the lessor's security interest in the helicopter, details required insurance, outlines maintenance and servicing requirements, and requires the registration and operation of the helicopter to be in compliance with FAA regulations. Should the assets not be delivered in time, or if it is in the financial interest of the city, there's also an optional escrow agreement that the city may execute to draw down funds prior to asset delivery. Since it's anticipated that the city will pay the vendors upon asset delivery, then reimburse itself through lease funding, the city is required by Treasury regulations to declare its official intent to reimburse itself using this agreement. The ordinance contains language that satisfies this requirement. Using current interest rates, the total interest is currently estimated to be $8.7 million for the full $40 million principal. Annual lease payments for the fire rescue helicopter are anticipated to start in FY26 and run through FY35 with a maximum annual payment of $2.2 million paid from their operating budget. Annual lease payments for the fleet vehicles are anticipated to start in FY26 and run through FY36, reaching a maximum annual payment of $4.1 million paid for by the vehicle replacement fund. The agreement was included in the current 5-year outlook debt ratio projections and has minimal impact to the city's debt ratios. We project to continue to be below thresholds established in the debt policy. As for our timeline, after this meeting, we anticipate the second reading in late October, followed by agreement execution in early December. Thank you for your time. We have staff online from the operating departments, as well as the City Attorney's Office, EOC, and Bank of America available to answer any questions.
All right, let's hear public comment, please.
We have no public comment here in council chambers, and nobody is in the virtual queue with their hand raised. This does conclude public comment for this item. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's begin council's discussion with Councilmember Robles.
Thank you very much to staff for the great presentation. As you mentioned, we have already voted to approve this item. We now need to pay for it, which is incredibly important. And I understand this, the life of this item, not just the helicopter, but all the fleet equipment, is going to last for decades. And so that's why we're paying for it over time so that every citizen who experiences the benefit of this program can actually help chip in over time. I understand the need to take out loans at this point. But this will keep us under our debt ratios, correct?
That is correct, under the current projections, yes.
Wonderful, thank you very much. I appreciate it. In addition to the other heavy equipment that we need to operate our city, the fire rescue helicopter, the Bell 412X, is incredibly important to our city. We have retired Copter 1, which lasted over a decade beyond its useful life, and partnered it out and sold it and got $1 million or thereabouts to pay for the down payment for this helicopter. But that means we are down to 2 helicopters for our wildfire department, and that means we can only have one in the sky. Because the way it works is one is always down for maintenance. So if we only have one that we can fly up in the sky, if there is a rescue and a fire at the same time, we can't tackle both. And the city of San Diego is the only one who does nighttime rescues. We're the only operation that has the Firehawk that we can send out. So if that one is called by a county, by another city around us, then we will have no helicopters to respond to our residents. So it's critical that we have at least 3 helicopters at all times, so we can always have 2 in the sky. These 2 helicopters, the uh,
currently put out a fire recently in Rancho Bernardo in which over 100 people were evacuated and their homes were saved because the helicopters were able to attack it. It was in a canyon. And so one of the best defenses we have to canyon fires are our aerial assault helicopters here. So I just want to urge my colleagues to support this item. I still have residents who are remembering what it was like to come home and their houses were burned to the ground after the Witch Creek fire and after the 2003 Cedar fire, in which we did not have this capability. In addition, up in the San Pascual Valley, our state senator, Tony Atkins, and our assembly member, Brian Mainshine, worked hard to bring money down to build a dip tank up in the safari park. Can you imagine what it would be like to evacuate thousands of animals, which they had to start doing when the Witch Creek fire came through in 2018 when a brush fire hit the ridge? That valley is actually the biggest fire break between the wild urban interface and Rancho Bernardo and the rest of the city. And so now that we have the dip tank out there, we need a wildfire helicopter that can go and dip into that tank and put fires out in the canyons on the ridges. So why build a dip tank if we don't have a helicopter? So I'm happy to make the motion to approve this item. And in addition, note that we gave pay raises to the very few employees we have who can pilot these helicopters. We were about to lose them to other cities in Orange County who was recruiting our wildfire helicopter pilots away from us. So we need to think about holistically with this program, because putting a fire out before it starts is gonna save us billions of dollars and even more trauma. So thank you very much for this item. It is hugely important to the fire rescue department. I've heard from many of them that they need this to pass. So thank you very much for your work, the Department of Finance, because we couldn't buy anything without you. And to our city attorney, Marguerite, thank you for your incredible work on this. And I will happily make the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Von Wilpert. We've got a motion to approve staff recommendation from Councilmember Von Wilpert. And we'll now turn to Councilmember Lee.
Thank you, Council President, and thank you for the report. I'm happy to second this item. It was recently heard at the Budget Committee. As Councilmember Von Wilbert noted, the item allows for the financing of the fire rescue helicopter that we've already approved as a council earlier this year, as well as for the anticipated vehicle and equipment-related expenses in the years ahead. I think she's certainly already addressed the public safety needs on that front. I want to perhaps add to that by sharing that I'm supportive of this item, especially as a critical cash management tool that permits the city to efficiently use debt where appropriate so that we retain more general fund resources in order to meet the many community needs of our city. I think in formulating the budget for this year, we recognized how critical that was in order to free up even just the smallest of resources in order to meet some of the community needs we had this year. I also know how important it ultimately is to have these kinds of financing tools available so that we can quickly procure, whether it's public safety or other vehicle needs in the future, so that we are prepared. I do also want to take a moment just to acknowledge some of the concerns that my colleagues brought up during the Budget Committee hearing regarding the need to ensure that Bank of America, in this particular case, is providing banking services and community investments in all of San Diego's communities. And that's something that I do hope that we will continue to monitor for that relationship as we continue to review how we approach all of our banking relationships. So with that, again, I'm happy to second the item.
Thank you, Councilor Lee. Council President Gonzalez.
Thank you, Council President. First off, let me thank staff for all your work to bring this forward. I know there's a considerable amount of effort to figure out the strategies to actually be able to pay and deliver for the things that we budget for. These are certainly critical items. I supported this item at budget and will support this again today. As my colleague mentioned at budget, I made comments about the importance of meeting the requirements of the city's responsible banking ordinance. And while we've been informed that this master lease agreement does not fall into the types of banking services that are directly subject to the resource, to the responsible banking ordinance, I will note that the master lease agreement is with Bank of America Public Capital Corp, and the workforce report is for Bank of America itself. So it provides a little bit of a confusing picture there for us to relate. So I am, of course, supporting providing this helicopter to the fire department and other city vehicles. But it's also important to recognize that the institutions that are providing banking services to the city need to follow our rules, so that we can ensure reinvestment in our communities. We need operations to demand the required community reinvestment plan, the annual reporting, our file, which has not been done in a while. And compliance with federal law does not speak to our ordinance and does not speak directly to the needs of the city of San Diego. And I'm working with my colleague, Councilmember Foster, to update the ordinance as well as the policy, which are both very, very old and need updating. But again, I will be supporting this action today and look forward to working with the mayor's office and operations about how we address our responsible banking ordinance going forward. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you, Council President Pro Tem Lacava. All right, Councilmember Bumble made a motion in support of staff's recommendation. Councilmember Lee seconded that. Council President Pro Tem, I'll say that I look forward to seeing the policy that you're working on, Councilmember Foster. Incredibly important that our banking institutions, especially big banks, do right by San Diego and by San Diegans. So thank you for spearheading that. With that, clerk, please call the roll.
Beside the voting system, please cast your vote. And also note that there were no comments received for this item in the e-comment software. If you can please say your vote for the record, Councilmember Lee.
I vote yes.
Thank you. We will get that looked at. Correct. Yes. that does pass unanimously 7-0 with Councilmember Campbell and Councilmember Moreno absent.
All right, let's hear item 331, please.
Item 331 is the award of a 5-year contract for as needed ready mix concrete and delivery to Pedrosa Ready Mix ITB 100-952-24-C. If you'd like to speak to this item, please be sure to raise your hand by pressing *9 or the raise your hand icon, or if you are here in council chambers, please submit a speaker's up to the high lectern. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, once our presenters are ready, please introduce yourself and let us know how much time you'd like for the presentation.
Good morning, Council President, Council members. My name is Patrick Hadley, Deputy Director in the Street Division of the Transportation Department. I just need a couple minutes for the presentation.
All right, please proceed, Mr. Hadley.
Here today, seeking authorization to award a 5-year contract with Pedrosa Ready Mix for the delivery of concrete material. The not to exceed value on this contract is $30 million over that 5-year term. The contract scope of this contract is pretty basic. It's really just the delivery of that concrete material to various construction site locations throughout the city. This material is utilized by multiple departments, including transportation, stormwater, and public utilities for a variety of different repairs and maintenance out there, mainly with our sidewalk repairs and replacement projects. We've got curb and gutter repairs, cross gutter repairs. You'll see a stormwater channel here that's concrete. It's used for that as well as other utility-related As far as the contract timeline and award, we initiated the invitation to bid back in October 2023 for concrete delivery and pumping services. Bullet Concrete was awarded the pumping services contract. This portion of the contract is for those hard to reach areas where we have to actually pump concrete, you know, up a hillside into hard to reach areas. We were unable to award the concrete delivery to the initial low bidder as part of the ITB. They had issues obtaining the appropriate bond for the contract, and we had to move on to the next bidder, which was Pedrosa Ready Mix. They also had some issues getting that adequate bond information or adequate bond for the contract, but we were able to negotiate with them and seek resolution there. One thing I want to point out is just overall cost increases with concrete compared to the last contract. We've seen about a 50% increase from our previous 5-year contract, so significant increases there along with inflation. And our current agreement expires in November 2024. That's when we'll run out of authorization for concrete. With that, I'll take any questions.
All right, thank you so much. Let's hear public comment, please.
There is no public comment here in council chambers. We also did not receive any public comment via our e-comment form, and nobody has their hand raised in the virtual queue. That concludes public comment for this item.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Council President. Thank you, Mr. Hadley, for your presentation. I really do appreciate the opportunities I get to walk around my district, seeing you and your team fixing sidewalks, putting in curb cuts, knowing how important it is. This is a highly important, highly requested service and amenity that our city does, and your team does an excellent job at it. Bottom line, we're going to be fixing a lot of sidewalks with this concrete, right? In that case, I'll make the motion to approve staff recommendation.
Thank you, Councilmember Campillo. Got a motion. Let's turn to Councilmember Woodburn now.
Thank you, Council President. Thank you for the presentation. These materials, as was stated, are key to the repair and maintenance of sidewalks, streets, water, wastewater utilities, and other infrastructure. We want to continue the progress we're making on a wide variety of our infrastructure projects. Our Active Transportation and Infrastructure Committee has prioritized infrastructure projects that not only address immediate needs, but also anticipate the future needs of our city. So I'm happy to second the motion.
Thank you, Councilor Woodburn. Councilmember Von Holbert.
Thank you. Thank you for the work on this and the presentation and the briefing ahead of time as well. I'm happy to support the item today. I just had a question about, we had been talking to ENCP earlier about bulk buying asphalt for projects as opposed to each bid we do for road repair, letting the contractor figure out where they're getting asphalt, which then jacks up the price of it. So is this a similar way of buying, bulk buying, or is this a program we've been doing in city for a while?
It's very similar to our Vulcan contract. So Vulcan's used for our in-house repairs as well, bottle patching, our big mill and pave team that we're implementing as well. So the concrete material is very much the same. The only basic difference is we go and pick up our asphalt from Vulcan and we get our concrete delivered with those concrete mixers.
Got it, okay. Yeah, you're right, you can't really store wet concrete. Okay, understood. Well, I appreciate the fact that we're thinking about transportation, public utilities, and stormwater all buying together as opposed to having separate contracts, which could be more expensive. So happy to follow up with ENCP on any progress on bulk buying asphalt, since I know we need a lot more asphalt than concrete over the year. But this is great. Thank you for fixing the sidewalks. And huge kudos to the mill and pave team. They're doing great. And we love the updates whenever I get an email that says, we fixed this part of the road in your district that was terrible. Love those updates. So thank you very much, and I'll support the item.
Thank you, Councilmember Bob Wolpert. Councilmember Foster?
Yes, thank you, Council President. I just have one question. I just want to make sure I'm reading it correctly. Is the DOC program evaluation, does it indicate that they have 15 or less employees?
Sorry, repeat.
I believe the EOC program evaluation indicates that the firm has 15 or less employees. Is that correct?
Thank you. Good morning. Council Member Foster, that is correct. That is for their San Diego branch. They also have a branch in Orange County.
Well, I guess my question is more so, I guess I'll speak to, I don't know, is it responsibility in just being able to service the contractor? They have 15 or less employees, big $30 million contract. Are they able to facilitate the demand and the need? So if staff needs concrete in multiple locations on a given day, week, can they actually facilitate? I'm a little confused on how that works. I don't see any subcontractors listed, so I don't know if they're planning on using trucks or trucking to facilitate. So just curious how we can facilitate a $30 million contract and we have 15 or less employees.
Thanks for the question. It's something we'll obviously monitor as we go throughout this contract, the performance of the contractor, making sure they're meeting our needs and getting to our deliveries when they're scheduled. So that's something we'll monitor as we go forward. But as it stands now, I mean, they bid on the contract. They were a qualified vendor and awarded as the low bid. So definitely something we'll monitor as we go forward.
Okay, I'm concerned because if they have 15 or less employees, that means they do not have to provide certain information as we are entering into a contractual agreement, right? So I just want to make sure that as we are going through and doing our vetting, that we are looking at this appropriately and crossing our T's and dotting our I's, because I do have concerns on a firm that can deliver a $30 million obligation and they you know, the question lies in my mind, do they have adequate employees to meet our needs? So just a word of caution.
Thank you, Councilmember Foster. We have a motion from Councilmember Campillo, seconded by Councilmember Whitburn. I do have a question about the material itself. To what extent are we contracting for a particular type of concrete here?
So we have standards for concrete. So the main concrete we use is a 3250 PSI. I know that doesn't mean much to this group, but it does mean that that's a very strong piece of concrete. And that's what we use for sidewalk repair concrete experts up here. But we also have bid items for a variety of other products as well that are used in other applications.
Okay. I'm asking because I know that there's been efforts to reduce carbon footprint of resulting from concrete, and there's been some significant strides made as a result of federal investment in those businesses. To what extent are we locking ourselves into concrete that wouldn't necessarily be in line with our capitals?
It's definitely something we can look into. I don't have an answer for you today. On the asphalt side, there's obviously a clear policy there of how much recycled product goes into that asphalt. I'd have to get back to you on the concrete aspect of that.
But in terms of there's nothing precluding us from working with the company receiving this contract to secure the most environmentally friendly product possible to achieve the other objectives that we have. Is that
right? Nothing's preventing us, right?
Okay. If I understand correctly, and I'm not an expert, but if I understand correctly, it's not a small amount of carbon emissions that's produced through the production of concrete, and there are now carbon neutral options, and so it certainly would be preferential to me if the city is doing everything it can in a contract of this size to ensure that as many policy objectives as possible are being achieved through the execution of this contract. Councilmember Foster spoke to the importance of making sure we're in line with our workforce goals. Similarly, wanting to make sure that we're in line with our cap goals would be very important to me. Council President Pro Tem Acaba.
Well, thank you, Council President, for bringing up. I'm a little embarrassed that I didn't catch that myself. First, I'm old enough to remember back in the good old days where 3,000 PSI was good enough, but I guess we're at 3,250 now, so no support that. But to combine Council President's comment with Councilmember Wolfert's, is this just for the delivery and placement? So this contractor will buy from Vulcan, or are we buying from Vulcan?
So the contract is for the delivery of the material.
Just for the delivery. So the city has a separate contract or agreement with Vulcan?
Not for concrete, just for the asphalt with Vulcan. So that's for that takes care of all the concrete needs.
Okay, so I'm confused, so my apologies for not following. If they're just delivering, so they're actually mixing the concrete and delivering?
Right.
And to the council president's, I think where his question was gonna go, do we have the ability to go back to this contractor and say, we have some different standards we'd like you to adhere to in terms of the mix of the concrete?
I'd have to ask Claudia to come back up and address that. I'm not sure.
Okay, fair enough.
Thank you for the question. So we can definitely look at the materials and the requests that we made in our initial bid. If we are changing something, we would really have to look at that because it may change the landscape of who would have bid this actual contract and how bids pricing and things of that nature would have come in. So it depends on how big of the change it is, whether or not we can ask that. But I know Cassandra Legion is sitting behind me, so.
Let me just jump in and not have to bring the lawyers in because I know they like it when they don't have to. why don't we follow up with you, and maybe we'll do a little bit of research.
We can definitely
as to how big of a shift where the state of the art is, and is this a dramatic different product that could raise the issues that you raise. And again, my apologies for thinking about this and raising this issue, so we'll follow up. But I'll be supportive of the contract today, and then we'll follow up and see what we may need to do. I'll leave it to you, Council President.
Yeah, thank you, Council President Pro Tem. I understand the response that Council President Pro Tem got. I do want to make sure that we're not missing opportunities here. Is the contractor online?
No, they are not.
Okay. We've got a motion in a second. Understand the importance of continuing city work. What I would say is that these are the sort of things that I think are it's just really important across the board. Again, the various policy goals of the council are taken into consideration. And given the extent to which the built environment is a critical component of the city's climate action plan, these sort of steps are important to ensuring that we do everything that we can to move towards those goals. We won't get into the full capital foundation conversation here, but we know that there are big chunks of cap goals that are going to be extremely challenging to reach, even in the best of circumstances, and missed opportunities to reduce carbon emissions will make it even more difficult to hit those goals.
We'd be happy to set up some briefings going forward and coordinate with City Attorney and TNC on what options could be to meet those needs and goals. Yes.
Okay. And again, from my very, very, I'm remembering an article that I read and then pulled back up that the federal government has done, has made investments to make it easier for public investment in these sort of carbon neutral options with some bike lane programs. Councilmember Van Holbert.
Thank you. Thank you for raising this point. It's something I hadn't thought about either. One question I have is, do we recycle our own concrete? We're done?
We do recycle clean loads, yes.
Okay. And so do we use that, or do we give it back to the concrete company, or how's that done?
It goes to a facility where it's processed, and people have the opportunity to purchase that material afterwards, but we take it to the recyclers.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Clerk, if you please call the roll.
I'm sorry, the voting system, please cast your vote. And that does pass unanimously, 7-0, with Councilmember Campbell and Councilmember Moreno absent.
All right, thank you so much. With that, we are now at our non-agenda public comment portion of our agenda. Clerk, please proceed.
Thank you. Per Rule 2.7, non-agenda public comment is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items that are not on the agenda but within the subject matter jurisdiction of the City Council. Each speaker will have 2 minutes. Please note, if there are 8 or more speakers on a single topic, the maximum time for the topic will be 16 minutes. If you are in chambers, please submit your speaker slip. If you are joining us virtually, please raise your hand to speak by tapping the raise your hand icon, or if you are a call-in participant, *9. We did receive one non-agenda public comment via our e-comment software, and that was distributed to the council. We have Joy Zanata, George Kula, and Jeff Bartlett here in council chambers. Joy, if you may begin, you'll have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Part 2, Declaration of Interdependence for San Diego, Tijuana, by Bruce Appoyard, and I quote, "This work continues as a timeless inspiration through its images, imagination, and poetic narrative, and we endeavor to reflect upon their voice and dreams with a broad multinational balance. While Temporary Paradise provides a rich account of the natural and man-made advantages of our region, we are keenly focused on its multinational dream to transform the San Diego-Tijuana border into a true zone of confluence, a vital meeting point of two living cultures. That shares its water, energy, landscape, and economy, a vision whose voice seems to have left us long ago, but whose deeply seated truth never has. And it is characterized in the passage from temporary paradise that can serve as a preamble toward the reconstruction of our identity as one people, one San Diego, Tijuana. Okay. Dreams have some use. They give us hope, but they also move us to act. Can one dream about a region as large as San Diego, Tijuana? We think so. End of part two. Part three will come soon. Thanks for listening and love to all. I'm really enjoying doing this.
Thank you. Next is George. And if I can ask Jeff also to come up to the front, yellow reserve seats at the front for better meeting management, I appreciate that. George Cooley, you'll have 2 minutes. Please proceed.
I was trying to do some figuring, and it seems to me that the amount of concrete comes in at approximately 700 cubic yards per week. Related to that, I could be entirely wrong, but I was trying to figure it out. And can 15 people do that?
Thank you. Thank you. Next is Jeff.
How are you doing? My name is Jeff Barlett. I'm actually a resident down in Tijuana. I commute across the border each night to work security in San Diego, California. And what I'd like to talk about is just my concerns about the need for the city of San Diego to promote the general welfare of the people. One concern I really am concerned about right now is the lack of police response times when I call them when I work security. When I lived in Texas, I'd work security and the police would show up. Like usually they'd be there in like 5-10 minutes sometimes. Same thing when I lived in Arizona. Here in San Diego, I can go a whole shift and the police don't show up. Big concern, same thing when I call a non-emergency or 911. It takes forever, and that's a big concern I have because public safety should be a number one priority. The next thing I'd like to bring up is I feel like the city needs to find ways to help the homeless on the streets. I mean, find ways to shelter the homeless, put funding towards that. Also, zoning is a big issue. I live down in Tijuana and the cost of living is low for a reason. You see people build all over the place. Yes, some people might say it looks ugly, but I think it's effective. Zone like Tijuana, you won't have a big cost of living problem like you do here. Also, it's cheaper to live in Texas and Arizona. Also, I have a concern. There's a lot of drugs on the streets here in San Diego. I think something needs to be done. I think, you know, more funding for police to assist this kind of stuff. Also, there's no city-run healthcare. You know, in other countries, you know, Mexico, Russia, you know, there's public healthcare. Why not put your funding towards things like that? And, you know, I feel like these are the things, but just prioritize, instead of beautification, prioritize the general welfare, and I think things would be run much more effectively. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you. That does conclude non-agenda public comment here in council chambers. I've started the 5-minute timer. Currently have 3 speakers in the queue, starting with Becky Rapp. If you can please unmute.
Good morning, Council Chair Ela Rivera and council members. My name is Becky Rapp. I'm a parent and a public health educator concerned regarding the misconceptions surrounding vaping. Many people feel it is safer, it's a safer alternative to smoking tobacco. This fallacy is what the industry would have you believe in efforts to hook individuals desperately trying to quit a very addictive habit. A recent study, the most comprehensive of its kind, published by experts from the Keck School of Medicine, discovered that young adults who vaped had the same genetic mutations in cells in their mouths as those found in cigarette smokers. These mutations in cells are what lead to cancer and other diseases. Research shows that 1 in 10 adults vape, accounting for roughly 5.6 million people, and nearly 1 million of those individuals are under the age of 18. Electronic cigarettes are not as safe as people claim they are. E-liquid is filled with toxins, carcinogens, and a wide range of toxic chemicals. Similarly, marijuana products have become popular for vaping. E-liquid, synthetically derived from the marijuana plant, also contains these same toxic chemicals and carcinogens. I recognize and appreciate the city's efforts in banning the sale of flavored tobacco products to curb the desire of young people to vape. I suggest that the council consider a similar ban on flavored marijuana products. There is no difference regarding the health consequences when it comes to what product a person chooses to vape. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Megan Stewart. If you can please unmute.
Thank you. Good morning, council members. My name is Megan Stewart, and as someone who has worked with youth, I'm happy as we recognize that this week marks Mental Illness Awareness Week, which is a time for us to shed light on a growing crisis, particularly among our youth and young adults. As many are aware, our community is seeing an alarming increase in mental health issues among young people. And research shows a direct correlation between this rise and increased drug and marijuana use. The statistics are undeniable. First-time marijuana use before the age of 18 is the single greatest predictor of future opioid use disorder, which, as we know, is also an increasing problem. Along with that, high-potency THC products, which are now very commonly available, increase the risk of psychosis by 3 times, while daily use shows an even more shocking 5-fold increase. Another study has shown that adolescents aged 12 to 19 who reported using marijuana in the past year were up to 11 times more likely to develop a psychotic disorder. The impact on mental health extends beyond psychosis. Daily marijuana use before the age of 17 is associated with a 7-time greater risk for suicide attempts. And according to the National Survey on Drug Use and Health Data, youth aged 12 to 17 who used marijuana in the past year or even the past month are at double the risk of major depression disorder and nearly double the risk of suicidal ideation compared to non-users. As we observe this week of awareness, I urge you to recognize that our young people's mental health and mental illness is deeply intertwined with their access to and use of drugs, especially marijuana, which is only becoming more available and marketed and pushed onto them. Our youth deserve better. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Kathleen Lippin. If you can please unmute.
Thank you. And good afternoon, Council. Thank you for letting me speak. My name is Kathleen Lippin, and I would like to comment about Pacific Beach is going to have a rally on Wednesday, October 9th. And what this is community coming together to recognize that not just in Pacific Beach, but citywide, that these communities are sharing similar problems that are coming from both the state and the city's land use decisions. And ADUs, mixed-use zoning that is setting us back from the protective, sensitive uses that we once enjoyed, and now they're going to be putting police-permitted businesses in proximity to multi-use housing, and it's going to compromise the ability of children to grow up without having the triggers of drug use but I think that the city put a lot of pressure on community planning groups with their 600-24 guidelines. They took away a lot of authority, and it's made it very difficult. A lot of people were not clearly aware of what the problems were going to be when those guidelines were set in stone. The city needs to recognize existing community plans like Pacific Beach that had, since 2005, a 30-foot height limit, now being able to grant projects that are some 30 to 99 stories. Thank you for letting me speak.
Yeah. Thank you. Next is Judy Strang. If you can please unmute.
Good morning, San Diego City Council. Thank you for letting me share some information that we discussed at our PTA council meeting last Friday. The parents had noticed that U.S. News and World Report has been running a monthly column primarily about marijuana use. It brought to my attention that I hope our city council and perhaps other cities in the county are going to be running behind on this curve of marijuana use by young people and facilitating it in ways that are only going to make the situation worse. And they mentioned that the most recent article in JAMA Pediatrics mentioned, and I will use the vocabulary of the study's author because it charmed me, chronic use among adolescents has been linked to long-term changes in brain architecture, resulting in impaired information processing and decreased cognitive memory and attention capacity into adulthood. So they wanted to do a study that would tell us more about how that might affect their abilities and successes in school, particularly high school. And they found that marijuana use during high school years had a 39% odds of lower school grade, 50% chance of obtaining a high school diploma, and 25% likelihood of going on to university or college. It also doubled their odds of dropping out of high school, and definitely doubled the odds of school absenteeism. So as adults, it is our opportunity to look at the role we might play in enabling and facilitating marijuana use by our young people. And as city policymakers, I would hope you would do the same. Thank you.
Thank you. Our last speaker is Madison. And the 5-minute timer also concluded here in council chambers. No other speakers will be taken. Madison, please proceed.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, council members. My name is Madison Rao. Today, I want to address a critical public health issue that affects our community, which is vaping, particularly among our youth. This is something I see in my own family, and I have been aware of the harms that vaping causes. Recent medical research has raised serious alarms about the health risks associated with e-cigarettes. Studies have shown that vaping not only increases the risk of cancer by altering DNA, but it can also harm vital organs and the brain, as e-cigarette aerosols can contain toxic metals like lead and uranium. Vaping damages young people's lungs as severely as traditional smoking. In a recent study comparing vapers and smokers during a strenuous exercise test, both groups demonstrated significantly lower fitness levels and greater breathlessness than non-users. This should concern us all. The chair of the ERS's Tobacco Control Committee emphasizes that vapes are often marketed to young people through appealing flavors and low prices. This strategy is drawing more and more young individuals into a habit without them understanding the long-term health consequences. It is imperative that we as a community recognize this trend and take action. Doctors and policymakers need to be aware of the serious risks of vaping, and it is our responsibility to support our children in avoiding or quitting these harmful products. The government is already making strides through its tobacco and vapes bill, aiming to curb the irresponsible marketing of these products to our youth and progressively outlaw smoking altogether. As we consider our planning initiatives, let's prioritize the health of our community by promoting educational programs and regulations that protect our young people from the dangers of vaping. Together, we can create an environment that safeguards their future. Thank you.
Thank you, and that concludes non-agenda public comment for today's meeting.
All right, thank you, clerk. As a reminder, no afternoon session today. We will adjourn council to the next regularly scheduled council meeting on Monday, October 14th, 2024 at 10 a.m. Thank you, everyone.